If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
If is our phone number. If you're not here and you have a question, we are still doing our house smarts. Now, you don't have to be so quiet. Just say no. You can talk amongst yourself, because then people will think he's really not somewhere live because it's so quiet. But I've had Lindsay's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Rob LaFrenz is doing news. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
And we're going to, in sports, wait 1 second, 3, 2, 1.
Jack Heinrich,
ladies and gentlemen. Let's give it up for the wheel of meat for who's doing sports this morning. Well, I'm sorry you gentlemen aren't here with us. It is, if I can describe the scene, I've been here, I've been to Pier 290 a bunch of times. It is this lovely location right on Williams Bay on Geneva Lake. The sun is shining and rising behind us. Lindsay and I are in silhouette, which she said is not great for pictures. So, you know, it's dark. We got to use a flash. But all the people we're looking at are in the sunshine. It's beautiful. And there's like this covered area outside of the restaurant that in the winter they close up with tarps and stuff. And then in the summer like this, you can sit out here. Boats come in and out. There's all kinds of fishermen on the lake behind us. And it's just a lovely setting. And we are really happy to be here this morning. It's all sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva, which is a great spot and a great place to be. How are you? It's nice to see you this morning. You're good?
Wonderful. This is so impressive. I cannot believe how many people came at 6 a.m.
Right. It's so nice.
I was worried for you.
I know. Well, I'm just, I think, you know, you can't sleep. It's fine. It's good. You've got to do something, right? And there's some coffee and some refreshments there. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you're like, oh, we should go to Pier 290, the restaurant will open up after 10 o'clock. Come for breakfast. It's a lovely spot. The food's really great. And we're excited to be here. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk with the folks at Visit Lake Geneva later on this morning. Who else are we going to talk to?
We've got Pier 290.
Oh, Pier 290. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Pier 290. And let me turn off my light. Sorry, you did a good job, everybody. Then we're going to take your questions. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. We are in the heart of the beginning of summer. So if you're working in and around your house, I'm sure you're knee-deep in it. It's painting, it's grass, it's lawn, it's all that good stuff that that we can do today. So if you need some help with anything that is happening in and around your home, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. We also have a microphone. Michael, are you my microphone guy? Did you have that role? Do you know that? Did you know that's your role?
Well, now I do.
Yeah. This is Michael Piff, everybody. You know all the great... you know all the great contests that we have, like the best hot dog or the best ribs or the best pizza? Michael is the one that kind of leads that whole charge and does a really nice job. And it really, you know, in the world today, it's all about people communicating and joining in together. And whether they're on the radio or online, you know, it's just a great way to create community. So it's always a lot of fun, and he really enjoys it. And then does a podcast called Come and Eat Me or something. What's it called? Oh, yeah. Right, Chicago's what is it?
Chicago's Very Own Eats.
And so he, along with Kevin Powell, do that, and they do a nice job. So you should listen to it. It's very good. Go to WGNRadio.com. I like Chicago
Come and
Eats
Eat Me.
That's good. Come and feed me. Come and feed me. It could be like, yeah, right, and they do, right. I think they kind of figure it out, like if they do this, they get a lot of free food. So they're smart young men, that's for sure. So we're excited for them. I'm glad you're here, Michael. I really am. Does a nice job. 6:15 in the morning, 857-557-4LOU. Oh, I probably have to do this so I know who you're talking to about. Who's this? You can just tell me.
Ed.
All right, well, let's get started. This is Ed on the northwest side. Ed, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question. I talked to you about a month ago about a ladder for my pull-down ladder on my crawl space above the garage, and your suggestion worked out perfect of changing the ladder over to the different company, Kapuk or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
It gave me steps. But here's my question. I wanted to put a handrail so as once I get up towards the top of the ladder that but my question is, my I-beams are, I guess it's called particle board with 2x4 on the top and bottom. Can I penetrate that to attach a handrail?
Oh, it's like, how Is it some type of truss joist that you have? Is that what you have?
Yeah.
It's like a beam.
Yeah, I guess it's like an I-beam, but my understanding was that the center of it is particle board, but then there's a 2x4 on the top and the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shaped, and that's across
and
the entire garage.
Where do you want to anchor this? You want to put like a, almost like a pole when you get to the top that you can grab?
Right. I want something to give me some integrity. So once I get up to the top, like normally what I do now is when I get to the top, I just kneel on my knees and then I stand up. But I'd like to be able to, you know, come up and in a standing position.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great that you can kneel and stand up, right? It's never about getting down. It's getting back up. That's the issue.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a little bit of an issue.
Right. Okay. So do you have the ability on this pole or this handle you want to put it there? Can you drill into the side of the, on the I-beam, you know, the middle is called a web and the top and the bottom are called the flange. Can you drill into the side of the flange, top and bottom, to put your handrail? That's what I would prefer.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Okay. My point is you really don't like the idea of penetrating the particle board.
No, it doesn't bother me, but the problem is if you're gonna do that, that particle board is not that thick. So if you just put like wood screws in there, they're not gonna hold. If you were gonna penetrate it, I would drill it and then use a bolt with a washer and a nut on the other side of it, right? You're talking about integrity. Otherwise, if you get up there and you lose your balance and all of a sudden you put all your weight into that handle, it could rip out of there, and then that handrail doesn't do any good.
Okay. No, I. You know, with knowing that it was particle board, I was a little bit apprehensive. But okay, that answers my question. I appreciate.
Do you remember when you called a month ago what I told you after we got done? I told you never to call this show again. Remember?
Oh. Okay.
I'm just kidding. Have a lovely day. Thanks for calling back.
Thank you for the answer.
To the phone lines, and there's a lot to do here. Let's see, that's two. That's Jim. Now he's at one. This is Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you, sir?
A question about a switch. I've got a switch at my front door that turns on my outdoor light, but also turns on my outlet out there. I would like to make my outlet always hot. Is that possible to do?
Say all that again.
Okay, so
it was almost like you were giving me a math problem, like two trains leave Milwaukee at the same time.
Well, that could be.
Okay.
But they're going to Lake Geneva.
We're going to Lake Geneva, right.
Okay. So I've got a switch at my front door that turns on my outdoor light.
Okay.
But it also is connected to an outlet on my front porch that is not hot all the time. It's only hot when I turn on the switch.
And do you know if it's both sides of the outlet or just one side?
It's both sides of the outlet.
Okay, so when you hit the switch, the light goes on and the outlet's on switch controlled. So
Maybe.
Yeah. So and is that outlet directly below the light?
No, it's not.
Not anywhere near there.
Not anywhere near it.
Okay. So
it's in the middle of the porch.
And how handy are you when it comes to this electrical stuff?
Well, I've got a brother that could probably help me.
Oh, that's perfect. Right. Hey, Jimmy, come over here. Put your tongue on this, right? That's what you want.
Yeah, right.
So what I would do is, to be safe, with the switch on, right, plug a lamp into that outlet. Go find the breaker that controls that device and kill it so that you have no power. Then when that's the case, have your brother. Is his name Jimmy?
No.
What's his name?
No. His name's Bob.
Bob. Well, I could have called him Bob. Yeah, but Jimmy sounds better. Jim's funner. Call him Jimmy. And so have him take the outlet.
I can't have two Jimmy.
Right. Okay.
I'm a Jimmy.
You're also a Jimmy? Oh, see, that was it. I was foreshadowing. To have him take that receptacle out, and now you may have, more than likely, you've got a neutral, a white wire going to this, and then a colored wire that's connected to the switch mm-hmm. that provides the hot. But there could be, since it's not directly under the outlet, some other wires in there that pass through or could be pigtailed that are hot all the time. So with a tester, now that the outlet is out, you'll turn that breaker back on and find out if any of those wires are hot. If they're hot all the time, and tell me when I lose you here, you could come off of a hot line and what's called a pigtail, which is a little piece of wire off of that, and connect that to the outlet. And now that outlet has nothing to do with the light. The only caveat to what I just said is, depending on the age of your house, they could have used that device as a pass-through, illegal, to power the light through the switch. So you kind of need to hunt and peck to find out what's going on. So it should be possible, but you won't know until you take the device out of the box.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, good. Well,
okay. Well, thank you, Lou. But another question, unrelated. Will siding companies come out and just do a soffit and fascia work if you wanted to replace everything?
Sure, absolutely. Tell me where you live.
I live in Wheeling.
Okay, so Lindholm Roofing does siding, mm-hmm. soffit, gutters. And if you don't want any siding and you just want soffit and gutters, you know, like aluminum or vinyl or whatever you may want, they would absolutely come out and give you an estimate to do that.
Great. Well, thank you, Lou. Have a good day.
You too. I appreciate it.
Enjoy Lake Geneva.
Thank you. We are. Thank you. I appreciate that. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568. Was I supposed to give something away?
No.
No?
After 6:35.
Oh, I just have to pay attention?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Everybody thinks she's so nice, but she's very bossy. And she said right before we started a pre-show meeting, do exactly what I say until 10 o'clock and beyond. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Do I have another call I can take?
We do, but I don't.
Sure. Come on. Let's try it. This is...
Such a good listener.
I am a good listener. This is Nancy in Beloit. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. Have you ever spoken on the phone before? It's the same thing.
Lou, I have on the north side of my home this black starting, and I don't know if that's mold or what that is, but I wanted to wash it off. So I went to Ace Hardware, and I purchased an adapter for my hose. And that's pitiful at best. It doesn't have enough pressure. And I don't want to use a power washer. Is there a product, and can I use my hose? And I need to add, I'm 85 years old.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
I have an absolute great product. You're going to go back to that hardware store, and you're going to ask for a product called Wet and Forget.
Wet and Forget.
And you're going to put it on the end of your garden hose. They've renamed all the names now. They have all kinds of different names of stuff. It's hard to keep up. But now they have one. You're going to put it on the end of your hose. You're going to water down before you put it on the end of your hose, take the sprinkler or the hose and any vegetation you have around there, get it wet. Then you put this thing on the end of the hose, and it actually will spray water as well. You'll turn the dial, and you'll get it to the soapy part where it says the cleaner, and you're going to spray it on the side. It's going to look kind of foamy. Start at the top, work to the bottom, turn it off, spray the vegetation with water one more time, which you can do with the bottle on the end of the hose, and then walk away. And then call me back in like 2 weeks and say, hey, guess what? All that stuff is gone. No pressure washer,
I don't need to rinse it after I put it on?
Nope. You just like the name says, you wet it and forget it.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds wonderful.
I've used it.
You can I tell you something? You did a good job talking on the phone.
Thank you. Well, it's a beautiful day, and I can have this done by noon and still make the farmer's market.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. And it's 6:31 in the morning. We're live at Lake Geneva at Pier 290. Let's go into the Pier 290. We are sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva. We have a beautiful crowd out here this morning. It's a lovely day. I mean, literally, the sun is rising behind it. The water's there. There's a bunch of fishermen out on the lake. They're getting the boats ready. This particular restaurant, when you come here, you'll see people just pull up with their boats. They'll grab the boat. They'll come here and have lunch. And then they'll head on out from here, which is great. And it's just a lovely setting. If you've not been to Lake Geneva before, it's definitely something to put on your list of places to come because it's a lot of fun. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Linda, who's in Delavan. Hi, Linda. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. You know, you're not too far away.
Yes, I know that.
Right.
How fun.
Right. It's so fun. We wish you were here.
I have a woodpecker.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was there, too.
All right. You have a woodpecker.
Yeah. And I don't know what to do to get rid of him.
What is he or she doing?
Pecking on the house.
I guess I could have probably figured that one out, right? It wasn't like it was out on outside and you were like it was bothering you.
What else do they do?
Right. And is it one particular spot?
Yes. Okay. Yes. My husband thinks he's like sitting in the gutter doing it, but I'm not sure about
that. And is it high? Like, can we get to the spot where the woodpecker is doing his business?
I'm sure if we put up a ladder, yes. Yes.
Okay. Who's going to do that?
Not me, my husband.
Okay, all right. So this is a little trick, and it does work. If you were to take, so in that area, we need to redirect, you know, birds, rodents, they're all creatures of habit, like geese, it's the same thing. If you make it uncomfortable for them consistently, they will go somewhere else. And so this little trick I learned a long time ago, if you take some small little nails, I'm assuming you have cedar siding that they're pecking at?
No.
What is the sign?
No, I think they're up on the roof or by the roof. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
My husband might know more.
Okay. Well,
we do not have cedar siding.
Okay. Wherever this woodpecker is pecking, I need you to take fishing line and go back and forth a few times with nails or screws to create a very loose webbing. We're not trying to create like a strainer. We're just trying to create some fishing line that's elevated away from where the woodpecker is pecking. You won't even see this fishing line when you do this, but when you do, the bird will, and it won't want to get tangled up in that. And when you put that on there, it should annoy the woodpecker enough that they won't come back.
Great. That sounds simple enough. I think we can do that.
All right. Just be careful on the ladder.
Yes. He'll be careful on the ladder.
Right. Make sure the life insurance is all paid up.
Yes, everything's up to date.
Good. All right. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling.
All right. Thanks so much, Lou. Bye.
857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Joyce in Chicago. Good morning, Joyce.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How may I help you?
I wanted to find out about the Mitsubishi air conditioning.
Okay.
Who I can contact, and if I can get somebody out to tell me if it could be done in my house.
You're like a advertiser's dream. Like, did somebody tell you to call?
No.
No, okay. Do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So the website you want to go to is getacomfyhome.com. I don't like the website, but that's the website. I mean, I like the website, I just don't like the name. But that's what it is.
Okay.
Getacomfyhome.com. It should be like getcool.com or something. You know what I mean? It should be something shorter and kitschy. What could it be?
Kitschier than getacomfyhome.com.
Oh, now you're piling on too, Lindsay.
I love it. I think it's cute.
Oh, okay.
And I need that, a real comfy home.
You need a comfy home. All right, so it's getacomfyhome.com is the website. That is the website for Mitsubishi Electric. And that is, they are, in my opinion, the best mini split system that is out there from a quality standpoint, comfort level. And they will connect you with what they call a diamond dealer that will come out, give you an estimate, and tell you what it would take to put this in. The installation is quite simple. You literally have to drill 1 3-inch hole in a wall, depending on where you want to put this. They also do make systems that go in a ceiling if you don't want to see the unit on the wall. But quite frankly, once it's on the wall, you sort of forget about it because you're so comfortable in your home. And these not only, Joyce, cool your home, but they can also heat your home. And anybody that's got a hot spot in a certain area, or you're tired of a window air conditioner, this is a more permanent solution that is so effective. In my opinion, I think the future of heating and cooling in new construction will be these mini split systems, just because they're so energy efficient and they just work so well.
Now, I don't have to have one put in every room, do I?
No. I mean, you currently have a forced air system in your home now?
No, I got hot water.
Oh, so you have no AC whatsoever?
No, just those portable air conditioners, and they are good for nothing.
They're good for nothing, I know. And so, you probably don't, but it depends on the layout of your home. So, in other words, you may want... Go ahead.
I don't have a big house.
Okay.
But I do have an upstairs.
Sure. So it may be that they say, hey, upstairs we could put a unit here, perhaps in your bedroom where, you know, you want that to be the most comfortable, but that... by that location may help to spill out on the rest of the second floor. And on the first floor, your living area, you know, whatever that area, you will tell them, look, I spend most of my time here sitting next to the radio listening to WGN, right?
Right. You got that right.
Perfect. So that right there, right. And, you know, that radio puts out a lot of heat. You need to really cool it down. So and they may design it. So you may get away with just two units. And they can certainly assess and then get you a price, and they'll do a really nice job. Their diamond contractors are really terrific.
Now, do I have to have something? I have to have like a
checkbook. You need a checkbook.
Something outside.
You need a checkbook to be able to write the check for the person. No, there will be something that goes outside. It's called an inverter, but they will work with you to plan and say, this is where we can put this. There will need to be a dedicated electrical circuit that is sent out there to supply that, and they'll assess and make sure that you have the correct power supply to do that. But they don't take a lot of energy, so you should be okay.
Now, do they do all that work if I need for the electrical and all that stuff?
They take care of it all. One-stop shop.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
All right.
Because I am so tired of messing around with these portable units. They don't even get cold air coming out of it.
Right. No, I understand. I understand. Give them a call. GetAComfyHome.com is the phone number, and they will do a really nice job for you. I appreciate the phone call.
Wasn't here.
She loves to say that, by the way. This guy right in front of us, what's your name, sir? Right here, sitting right here. So what's your name, sir? Right here. I'm looking right here. What is your name, sir?
John.
His shoes are from 1980.
They're in great shape, though.
They're great. Well, he takes good care of them. Right. As are you. But he says, we were having a hard time. And then he's like, and so he takes out an ad like he's trying to find somebody, right? He's like going to cheat on his lady.
Oh, I guess I've never listened to it that close.
And then she, and then she responds like they're both like unhappy.
Hmm.
So then you think about that. Like, had it not been them, like had someone else called or written.
Well, now you've got everyone.
For you young kids out there, people used to write letters. Right? They used to put a stamp on them, right? I was talking to my friend Jim. So I just got back from Canada. This is House Smarts Radio, by the way. But I just got back from Canada. I was on a week in Canada, Ontario. My friend Jim has a chicken coop, and he has chickens. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, that you buy chickens and they send them in the mail? Anybody have a chicken coop here? Anyone? No? Bueller? No? Okay, they send them in the mail, like in a box. I go, have you gotten stuff in the mail before? Have you seen the box? What has happened to that chicken? Like, are they nice to the chicken? He goes, well, it says chicken on it. Yeah, the box also says fragile. I've seen that box. Anyway, what were we talking about?
The song.
Pina Colada.
Pina Colada.
Yeah.
That's all that we needed to
right?
say. Just
I think it's not a good song. I mean, it's a good song, but when you really think about it, they're not nice people.
I just was trying to make some happy music here.
Okay. Never mind. All right, that's good. Sorry. Pina Colada. Rupert Holmes. Rupert Holmes? Rupert Murdoch? No, that's the Fox guy. Rupert Holmes? Isn't it Rupert Holmes? One second. I'm sorry. I'm singing. 857-557-4LOU. Am I talking to Shane? Oh, Shane.
Oh, Holmes.
Holmes? Rupert Holmes. That's what I thought. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Shane calling in. Good morning, Shane.
How you doing, Lou?
I'm good. How may I help you?
I have a question about exterior paint for, like, the trim around the house and the garage door. There's a company out there that advertises a lot, and I don't know if I could say it on the air.
Sure, you can.
But they offer, it's that Rhino Shield, that
yep.
ceramic paint.
Yep.
What's your opinion on that?
It's good stuff. And I'll tell you what it is. It is a ceramic acrylic polymer. And the whole idea behind it is that it creates almost like a second skin when they put this on. Now, it costs more.
Okay.
And like any paint job, it's all about the prep work that comes about, right? So it's all in that what happens before the paint goes on. Now,
okay.
they give you a crazy warranty, and I have heard from listeners that have done it, and they, you know, said, oh, I had a problem, and they came back and fixed it. So they seem to back up their product, you know, when there's problems. You know, my biggest thing whenever, you know, somebody says, I'm giving you a 50-year guarantee, or I'm giving you a 25-year guarantee, you know, a lot of companies aren't around that long. And then you're like, well, you know, I had a 50-year, well, they went out of business. Well, no, they were only in business 10 years, you know, or whatever. So I'm always leery when people say that kind of stuff because I would rather have it be a realistic thing. But anyway, that being said, they've been around a long time. And I'll give you a personal aside. The house that my wife and I bought in Evanston, it's a brick house, but there's trim and downspouts and gutters that I believe, I don't know this for sure, but I'm probably 95% sure, that it's Rhino Shield on those surfaces, okay? And I don't necessarily know when it was put on, but we've now had the house for 3 years, and I kind of look and pay attention to this, you know, when I'm walking around the house, and it all looks pretty good.
This can go on metal and wood?
It can go on anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it is more expensive, and it does give you this, you know, I believe it's a 25-year warranty, which I believe is transferable. And so...
That's what the commercials say.
Right. So, you know, again, it's all about the prep work. I'm not anti-Rhino Shield. It's kind of like the Get a Comfy Home website. I would like that to be a different website name just because I, you know, it just bothers me. I don't know why. It's just kind of a thing. And with the Rhino Shield, I like the 25-year warranty, but that's a lot. And I think that there's a better way to do that that's more realistic because it is decent stuff and it's a nice finish. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a marketing guy, so what do I know?
Now, can you use this on a metal door like the front door?
I think so, yeah.
Because my door gets awfully hot because it faces east. And it's in that hot sun, and it sometimes that door gets so hot you can't even touch it.
Well, I mean, I don't think anything's going to change when you paint it with the Rhino Shield, depending on what color you paint it, right? Like what color's color's the door?
It's like a maroon right now, but we actually want to change it to a blue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously dark colors that gets hot, right? That's an issue, and you know, I don't know if there's a way to think about an awning or a cover of some side to block the sun, but it's still going to get really hot. The fact that it's on metal, like if you did the Rhino Shield, that, you know, the biggest issue with the Rhino Shield or any kind of paint is the substrate that's underneath it. It's expanding and contracting. And so, you know, wood and other surfaces like that expand and contract a lot, and metal is less. And so it would probably adhere really well to that and give you great performance. But a dark color is going to still be hot.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
All right, Shane, appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. We are live at Pier 290, sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
That'll be a big addition.
I 100% believe, right? Wouldn't it be nice to have Rob LaFrenz here, right? And maybe Jack Heinrich,
right,
we don't know.
Right.
You know, it could be someone else, you know. We never know who's
spin the wheel.
In sports.
A sports
spin the
rep.
Wheel, right. A sports rep. Right. Exactly. It would be nice to have you guys here as well. It's a beautiful place. Have either of you been out to Pier 290 or Lake Geneva?
No, but I've seen the Instagram post today. It looks nice.
He's such a kid. I've seen the Instagram posts. Right.
Well, we were actually talking about your posts earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I would love to take credit for it, but it's not me. But anyway, that's good. Nice to have you. Well, we have a word of the day for you, gentlemen. This is our first ever live word of the day in front of a live studio audience.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Maybe we should have them. Well, let's see who knows this one.
So many firsts today.
right. Okay, so our word of the day is, you know, it's just kind of a Saturday, something fun, file away, maybe you learn a little something. It is a adjective, and the definition is calm, peaceful, and happy, often used to describe idyllic days. Oh, like today.
Yeah.
The word is... See, it's
I always get worried.
It's the phonetic spelling.
It's really not that hard.
Halcyon.
Yep.
Halcyon.
Halcyon.
Oh, Halcyon.
Halcyon. H-A-L-C-Y. And see, here's the thing. I never heard the word, and I already heard people in the audience go,
see some
oh, yeah,
nods.
I love that word.
How many people know this word?
Halcyon.
Halcyon.
You're just, Tom, you're just saying that. You're just up front.
Private school.
My friend Tom here, who's here, grew up in the neighborhood. He's obviously a product of a Catholic school, and you could probably diagram a sentence too. That's that's a Catholic school thing. Halcyon, looking for a quick summer getaway. Oh, look at you. Looking for a quick summer getaway, visit Lake Geneva and make your own Halcyon summer memories. Wow, that is impressive.
That's good.
That is impressive.
Halcyon.
Right.
Just the way she ties it all in together.
You're gonna get a true pro. You're getting an extra WGN pen for that.
That's right.
That is good. So, Halcyon, gentlemen, that's your word of the day. That'd be a good one. Like, Jack, I don't know that you could use that to describe our Cubs right now.
No, not even a little bit.
What did they lose? 500-3 yesterday?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
They're still
like
hitting
that.
Home runs right now.
Yeah, I think a ball just hit the station here.
We're driving back from Canada, and I got my buddy Jim in the car. He's a big Cubs fan. And, you know, when we're up in Canada, we have no phone service. I highly recommend – I don't know how you would do this other than if you go to Canada, but you have a whole week. I couldn't speak to my wife. She couldn't speak to me. Nobody could text me. Nobody could email me. We're out in the middle of nowhere. You don't know what's going on. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a Halcyon moment.
it literally was. That was my Halcyon moment. And as we're driving back, the minute the phone service kicks in, I hear Jim's in the back of my truck. He goes, "Ugh, they lost. He was like putting all the losses of the Cubs together." And then we were all depressed for a while. And we're like, let's just turn the phones off again.
Yeah, it's smart. Smart.
We didn't know, right?
Exactly.
We didn't know whether they won or lost.
Yeah, it's been really rough.
And the White Sox are like in second place.
Yeah, they're in second place. They're playing well.
My Sox fan. There you go. Yeah, right. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're playing really well. A lot of young guys playing well. They're a fun team.
Don't point your finger at me, young lady. I am not a Sox hater. I am not. I do though have to fulfill my comment that I made, Jack, on this very radio station, and I made a declaration about the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
I said, if the Bears go to Hammond, Actually, a listener sent it in. If the Bears go away, hello, Green Bay.
I don't know.
If they go to Hammond, I am wearing the green and gold.
Ooh.
You are making friends all over the place.
I don't know, Lou.
Are there any Packer fans here whatsoever? Okay. Those are my new people.
Those are your new friends.
The rest of you?
Yep.
The rest of you, you're dead to me. I got Lindsay, who's a Packer fan. Her husband, David, an owner, right? Yeah. Think about this. Think about this from a standpoint of set aside your love of the Bears, right, and your long-standing love of the Bears, like I had, and then think about the Green Bay Packers. They're owned by the people of Green Bay. Who are the other NFL teams owned by? Gajillionaires, right, that are, oh, we're going to move to Hammond, or we're going to move here, or we're going to do whatever. I think there's something to be said about it. You know what it is? You know what the Packers are? They're the communist NFL team. wait. I don't think that came out right.
Wow.
Boy, I hope they don't go to Hammond. 857-55. That's your word of the day, gentlemen. Use it, love it, live it. We appreciate you being part of it. And again, I apologize for ignoring you, but I got a lot of really nice people here today, so I gotta pay my attention. Yeah, you're considerable.
Gotta play to the people.
Yeah? All right, gotta play to the people. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568. It's 7:17 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. And we're also, if you have a question out here, we have a microphone that we can pass out. So if you put a hand up, maybe Christina or Michael could bring the mic out to you. But before that, we'll speak with Barb in Niles. Hey, Barb, good morning.
Good morning. Nice sunny day. Question, I've got a kitchen table. I believe it's solid oak. It's about 30 years old. It's just a basic 36 by 48, looks like butcher block.
Okay.
So it's still in great condition, but it's beat on top. You know, it's kind of tacky, and I just want, can I just use a hand sander with fine paper and just sand the whole thing to clean it real up, and then do I put varnish on it, or what do I do?
Well, before you do that, how about we try something else that will avoid you sanding, and if this works, you're golden. It's a product I've spoken about for years called Howard's Restore a Finish.
Restore, okay.
Okay. It is what's called a wood amalgamator, and it was, when I was first introduced to it probably 30 years ago, it's the secret of antique shops. They would get an old piece, old antique, and they would use this on it, and it would look like amazing. So you buy, they make this in different colors, but maybe you just go with the neutral color, and you get some quadruple.
Lou? Yeah. Lou, I hear Lindsay in the background. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, I know. You want me to have her be quiet? You're a little loud. Barb doesn't like to be distracted.
Yes, right. I hear the next caller.
Right. Sorry, Barb. Barbara, have you been a radio producer? You two should get together. Okay, so what you want to do is use this wood amalgamator. It's a petroleum-based product, so it smells a little bit. You're going to put it in a little container. You're going to use quadruple zero steel wool. Go back and forth with the grain, and then wipe that with a clean rag. And it should look amazing. You don't have to sand anything. The tackiness will be gone, and the luster of the wood will come back.
Really? What about some patches that are just, you know, like scraped up, you know, scratched
okay.
up?
So if there's some scraped up and some discoloration, when you go to the store, they will sell this Howard's in a neutral, an oak, a walnut. Find the finish that most resembles what your oak table looks like, and it will add a little color, right? It's kind of like, you know, it's like adding a little powder to your cheek.
Right. We're doing a little base makeup.
A little base. You're putting a little base on there, right? Just a little. I don't like too heavy of a base, so just light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want it to look natural. It's a metaphor.
And then will that just dry with? Will it have a shine on it or anything?
It'll have a little bit of a luster, but it'll dry once you wipe it off with the rag, and it'll be a little smelly. But when you're done, it should look amazing. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't work, okay, which it might not, but if it doesn't work, then you could do the sanding, but I bet you'll get pretty good results and you'll be happy with it.
That would be awesome. Should I do that? Now, the base is just like an H shape.
If the base, is looking, you can use it on the base as well. The biggest issue is going, when you're using the steel wool, go with the grain.
Right. Great. Okay. I'm going to give it a try. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Barb says you can talk now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
Sorry, Barb.
857-557-4. All right, we got a question out here. Go ahead. This is
Lou.
What's your name? Where are you from, sir?
Oh, Adam Smith from Lake Geneva.
Well, you came a long way.
I did.
Thank you.
My daughter recently purchased a house in February, and since then her sump pump has been going off every minute. Early on, we thought new build. We had all that rain. It's gonna. Don't worry, honey. It's gonna stop.
Right. At least it's working.
Right. But it hasn't stopped.
Right.
So they've had the builder out. They had the village out, so they didn't hit a water pipe. So the village isn't losing any water. When they pulled the sump pit, the cap off the sump pit, water's just pouring in there. Like my son-in-law said, it was like a hose. Just pouring in there, going up. And so their options were raise the float, or we'll give you a quote to put a battery backup in there. So, not really sure. They have no yard, so, they don't really want to do anything until that stops.
Well, so if they when they unplug the pump, does the water stop at some level?
Well, they can't. The basement would flood.
Well, will it? So, in other words, the way to test this is that when you're done here on the radio show and you go to your daughter's house in Richmond, you're going to unplug the sump pump, and you're just going to watch.
Okay.
And water seeks its own level.
Yep.
And if the pit holds water, as long as that water is below 12 inches from the top of the pit, if all of a sudden it stops and you put a tape measure there, like, well, it's a foot below this, and the water stopped.
Right.
Then we're raising the float. Is the basement finished or unfinished?
No, it's unfinished right now.
Okay. Just concrete and concrete.
Yep.
Okay. So when they finish the basement, when you go and help your daughter finish the basement, you're going to put a battery backup system in there, whether you have it professionally done or you do it, right? Because it's just not worth it not to have that backup. But my guess is the water table is high. If it's not, again, I was in Canada, so I don't know how much it rained this past week down here. But, once it's dry, if it's still pouring in there, it could be a water table issue. There could be an aquifer down there somewhere that is running through there.
Right.
Do they have municipal water or a well?
Municipal.
Okay. So my guess, it's groundwater. And if you unplug that, as long as it's 12, I don't care if the pit holds water.
Right?
If it gets a little higher, the pump activates. And then if you get to that point, adjust that. You either adjust the float or you cut the pipe on the sump pump and you raise it, put a concrete block in there, so that it's up higher, and let it do its job. And then the thing is, if that pump runs a lot, average life of a sump pump is 7 years, right? So now we know that they just bought the house, the pump is new, whatever, 2025, whatever the year is, and you're going to put that in your calendar. And in 5 years, you're going to replace that pump.
Right.
You're going to be proactive and not wait for 7 and get the battery backup. But I would do that test first and unplug it. If it holds the water, I don't care if it holds the water. That's fine. It's groundwater. It's probably clear.
Yep.
Right? So it's not. It doesn't smell. As long as there's no odor, that's fine.
All right. Good.
Right?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for coming. That's the Dumont guy. So your smart strip I was telling you about, that's that guy. Go ask him all your stripping questions. About paint. He's with his wife. Please. 857-557-4 Lou. 857-557-4568. So we have a Noodaloo too. Do we have any wine drinkers here? Okay. You know the wine opener thing, the one where you put the wine and it's got the handle, that whole thing? You know how those things are great the day you buy them and then they don't work? Right? They don't work. You can't get the cork out. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time my wife said, "Can you get the cork out of this thing?" I hate them. That's not our Noodaloo 2 today. You're going to like this one. And I got a couple of them to give away. We got to figure out that as well. But first, let's head into the WGN Radio Newsroom and check in with Rob LaFrance. And then I can hang it up. and we can maybe we can take him out and back and shoot him. No, I know. Anyway, welcome back. Okay, I love a good glass of wine, right? By the way, so my rule with wine is people say, would you like white or red? And I say, I only drink white when I run out of red. Lindsay only, you too? Right, right, come on. But Lindsay only drinks white, not just white. It's Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, the lady's nodding her head. Oh, well, I'll drink that. From the Marlboro region. Anyone? Anyone? Because she went on her honeymoon to...
Dolly drinks that too.
Dolly drinks it too, right. You went on your honeymoon to Australia.
I did.
Isn't that the Marlboro region?
No.
No?
No. That's
where was
New
I?
Zealand.
That's New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that
close enough.
Close enough. But they don't like that. The people from New Zealand don't like you to say they're from Australia.
No, it's big.
Anyway, so whenever she comes over, I'm running around like a nut looking for this stuff.
It's not that hard. It's everywhere. Oh. Anyone that drinks. I mean,
but when you don't drink white, you're like, is there even, do they sell that here?
I'm probably.
No,
I bet they do.
I'm kidding. Anyway, but you got to open it, unless it's a twist top.
Which is all I ever buy.
The twist top?
Because you'll hear why.
Oh, well, listen to this.
Back in my days of waitressing, whenever a table ordered a bottle of wine, anxiety immediately crept in. Because that meant I was going to have to pop the cork in front of them. I'd always attempt to uncork it like a lady, but inevitably, the bottle usually got positioned between my knees, with me struggling to lift that cork, praying I didn't elbow the customer in the face. But if this morning's new Tolu 2 was available back then, I'm sure I wouldn't have had the issues I did then. Well, and still do. Our new Tolu 2 today is the Cork Lift, a manual wine opener built to be reliable, ergonomic, and intuitive. Cork Lift is a winged wine bottle opener, similar to ones you've probably seen before. However, this one is different. This one has Cork Step technology, which is a patented feature created by its inventor, JJ, so that it delivers a smooth, linear pull, no torque, no breakage, and never pierces the cork bottom. You see, Cork Lift has these two paddles on either side that you pinch into place when placing on top of the bottle, so that it seats the corkscrew right on top, self-centering and self-holding. That is the key. And then you just open it like a regular winged corkscrew opener. You twist it down, push down the wings, lift them back up again, and naturally that cork rises with it. Bada bing, bada boom. Great for anyone who struggles with musculoskeletal limitations or just struggles to open wine bottles like me. Hey, also could be a great Father's Day gift. Check it out.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
How much is it? How much does it cost?
It's about $80.
Yeah. So, you know, when you get the iPhone, when you get your new iPhone, you know how the box is really nice? This is a really nice box. Now, that doesn't help you open the wine, but I did try it. And so this is all I want out of my wine opener. I'm showing the audience here. It's this corkscrew, right? But then what it has is this clip. Oh, this is part of the packaging. I got to do that. So this little clip on the bottom that when you open it like this, you squeeze it, and it grabs the top of the bottle. So basically it helps you. You're not like pushing down, really trying to crank down on it. And then you pop it, you release the clip, and there it is. So this is like, why do we need to reinvent the wheel with those other wine openers, okay? So I have two of these to give away to the audience here. For you listening, you can go to youtube.com/HouseSmartsTV. But I do have a trivia question about Lake Geneva. Now, don't yell out. You got to raise your hand. I'm going to call on you. Oh, you think you know? You were like all confident. You're like, oh, I got this all day. So Lake Geneva, it's a beautiful place, right? We know this. We're looking at it right here at Williams Bay. It's gorgeous. But did you know that this was the birthplace of a particular board game that is played all over the world? Oh, who's got their hands up? That gentleman was first. What board game, sir, was founded here and is played all over the world?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, my gosh. Give that guy a nice round of applause. You win the corkscrew. Come on up, sir. Grab your corkscrew. That doesn't sound right. Come on up and grab your corkscrew and get on your way. You kind of look like a guy that plays Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh.
And then what was my other one?
Oh.
You had it?
Please, I do.
There was a the Midwest. I don't think that the Midwest would be known as something glamorous. Would you say the Midwest is? It's beautiful. They're good people, but I don't know that you would say glamour. He's already raising his hand. What's that Steve Harvey show with the Family Feud where they hit the buzzer before the questions? When Steve, I didn't even ask a question. When you think about glamour, Lake Geneva was home to one of the most glamorous institutions that was here, where people would go and enjoy themselves, and maybe it was a little what?
Go ahead.
What?
No,
what?
You're right.
What?
Well, it's now a different.
I know it's not, but I'm not going to tell them that. It was maybe a little controversial, but it was big here. Way big, big. Big, big, big. Well, who am I going to call on now? This lady right here. Wait. Michael, working. Please, thank you. What is the place I'm talking about?
Playboy Club.
The Playboy Club. Never did I look at a Playboy magazine for anything but the articles.
Obviously.
Really great writing. Yeah. Pulitzer Prize winning. And I don't think it exists anymore, the magazine, right?
Oh, no.
I don't think so
either.
Yeah.
Right?
Good job. That's our corkscrew. If you'd like more information, it'll be up at youtube.com/housesmartsTV. 7:46 in the morning. Should I take line 2, you think?
Yes.
All right, I will. Let's go back to the phone lines. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568. This is Brad in Chicago. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Lou.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. And
yeah.
We listen to you every week. It's great.
God bless you.
So my question is, we live in a three-story townhouse in Chicago. The kitchen is on the center and the middle level. The laundry room and utilities are on the ground level. So the kitchen is directly above the laundry room and the hot water heater and the furnace. My question is this. Every morning when I go to turn on the kitchen water to, like, get a glass of water, I turn on the cold and I get really warm water. Not hot, but really warm. I mean, certainly it's like mixing with the hot. And that lasts for probably 20 or even 30 seconds before it starts to run cold. What do I need to do to fix that? Because it seems like I'm wasting a lot of hot water.
You don't have a on your water heater. You said so all that mechanical you mentioned, the laundry and the water heater, and everything is directly below the kitchen.
Correct.
And you don't have a. Do you know if you have a hot water return line that heads to another fixture anywhere?
I don't know for sure. I mean, I assume so because we have, you know, there's other bathrooms.
Right.
There's a couple bathrooms.
Right. But like, what's the furthest bathroom from where the water heater is?
Well, it'd be again above the kitchen.
And do you wait a long time to get hot water there? And do you have that issue with the hot water right there?
You know that upstairs bathroom has a temperature mixing valve on it, and so when I turn it on, I'm pretty much getting, you know, I mean, I get hot water within a matter of
right. But my point is, if you go to the vanity faucet and you were to turn that cold water on, do you get cold water immediately out of that?
Oh, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I don't.
Well, see,
I'll have to try that.
Here's what I think it is. If you go up to that bathroom and you turn the cold water on and you get cold water, I think the issue is that you need a compression tank, an air tank, on the cold water side of the water feed into your water heater.
Okay.
And also, what is your water heater temperature set at? So this is what can happen. At night, your water heater, if it's a tank, I'm assuming it's a tank water heater, correct?
Correct.
The hot water sits inside there just waiting for you to get up in the morning and take a shower. And it expands. As it expands, it's going, the hot water is pushing against the cold water line, and it's going back up through the cold water pipe. And because the kitchen faucet is right up above it, That's where that warmish water comes from initially until you evacuate that water and then it becomes cold. If you had an expansion tank on the cold water side coming in, which is now code in a lot of municipalities, as the hot water heats up and it expands, the expansion tank takes that hot and holds it, and it doesn't go back up through the cold water.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the first thing you're going to do is check the temperature on your water heater, make sure it's set at 120 and really no higher. You can't take a shower in 120-degree water, and you don't need to heat it up any more than that. So that could be one issue. The second issue, if you don't have an expansion tank, you can either have a plumber add or you can add one on the cold water side coming in. So the cold water coming in, you put a T, put an expansion tank. You know, it's involved. I know it sounds easy on the radio, but that will almost 100% solve this issue at the kitchen faucet.
Okay. I'm sure we don't have that because if it's code now, you know, our place is 30 years old, and
right.
I'm sure it wasn't code 30
how old
years
is that,
ago.
How old is that water heater?
Probably 10 years old, something like that.
Average life of a water heater is 7 years old. So if you're going to do all that, like if you're going to hire a plumber to do all that, I would do it in conjunction with putting in a new water heater.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good enough. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you calling this morning. We're live at Pier 290, all sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Jack did hit the word during his sportscast. Could you all give Jack a round of applause, please?
Oh, thank you. Jack. Thank you.
Who doesn't love a live audience?
Yeah, indeed. That's nice. I like
now,
that.
Rob, kind of like the fish that I was fishing for in Canada, kind of likes to lay in the weeds. And he likes to wait a little bit. And he's, you know, he sees the bait and he sees it jiggling, but he's like, I'm not going for it yet.
He likes to keep you on your toes.
Right. You know what he wants? He wants me to work for it. So.
Well, I don't want to just say, you know, throw it in there just to do it. You know, I want to, I need it to mean something. I want to talk
that.
To the listeners and make them feel this halcyon moment.
Exactly. Nice. Oh, there, you just threw it in there right there, right? It was good job right there.
There it is.
There you go. That doesn't count, by the way.
I'm working on it.
All right, I know. That's good. Well, thank you for playing along. I really do appreciate it. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to learn more about Lake Geneva. Lindsay and I were just talking off the air about she's done the safari tour that you said was...
So fun. It was like nothing I was expecting. I mean, there was a giraffe. There were these... trying to get into
which
our
is
car.
Which is native to Lake Geneva, the giraffes.
It was like
right.
I was in Africa. It was amazing. And we had with the girls...
Just a giraffe? Was that...
No, I'm trying... What else is there?
Hippopotami?
Rhino?
Also native to Lake Geneva?
Also, I mean... Ostrich. This was a couple years ago, and I took the girls.
Because Dr. Doolittle out there just calling out names of animals.
What else?
Right, there was a lemur. I mean, I don't know. We can just say names.
A buffalo, right? A llama. We had to buy these, or we bought these.
Watch out, they spit.
Buckets of, and we know, because right. They come in, they basically, they're like sticking their heads in the car, and the girls are like, oh my God, my God. But then they walk away, and they're like, no, come back. I mean, it was the craziest.
Wow. That's
most
cool.
Interesting, unique thing.
Yeah.
I highly suggest it.
There's such a history here in Lake Geneva about what this place was and what it is now, and it's still such a great gathering place. And we're going to learn more about that a little bit later on, which I think everyone out there in the listening audience will appreciate and really enjoy as well. We do have some more giveaways, and for those at home, and then I have the very last Mr. Fix-It hat of our current sponsors that we have here that we're going to give away. We got to figure out a way to give that away, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say maybe, how about we make some money? Like, hey, give us $1,000, you can have the hat. No? Not going to do that. Okay. We'll come up with something. But we have one last hat. Let me see that hat. It's a good-looking hat. Is it sealed? We have one. We are available. Well, there's one right there. That gentleman has right there. So he's, what's your name, sir? Bob is modeling the hat today. Bob, if you could you do a turn, pirouette, turn around, show us a little leg. So anyway, we have one hat. We'll give that away a little bit later on this morning. But let's do this. Let's go back to the phone lines. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Larry in Palatine. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I have a really strange problem. We have a ranch. We have one bathroom on the first floor because it's a ranch, way at the far end of the house. We have a bathroom downstairs, full bathroom with a shower, about 15 feet away from the hot water heater. Every time I fill the tub and put hot water in, there's a loud squeal above the shower downstairs, like, that I can hear upstairs. And it also happens when I put the washing machine on, where it takes in hot water. The water heater is 9 years old. It's like 15 feet away from that.
Shipping 10,000 packages a month.
Do I need a new hot water heater?
It's a squeal.
Yes, like real loud.
Do that one more time.
Like, yeah.
Okay, got it. Just making sure, because the pitch. You just want to make sure the pitch is right. Now, do you have a laundry sink anywhere near there?
Yes, I do above it. And when I turn the water heater, when I turn the hot water on, it does not make the noise.
Because it's not restricted. And when you turn the water on, you said in the tub, so that's unrestricted, but it squeals through the tub. It squeals on the vanity, but it doesn't squeal in the laundry tub.
It doesn't squeal on, it doesn't squeal on the vanity. It's just when we do the tub, and the rest of the hot water in the house decreases a lot.
Well, sure.
If you have another sink going.
Right. That's a separate issue. But so here's what I want you to try. It could be, so this is a weird thing, and the squealing sound, it can be very difficult to find. I want you to turn the hot water on. And do you have a spout with a pull up that then engages the shower?
Yes, and I've turned the shower on for about 20 minutes. 2 days ago, and it stopped for 2 days, but it just started again.
Okay. I want you to turn the hot water on. When we're done talking, turn the hot water on. And the minute you hear the squeal, the little pull up thing that you pull up for the shower, I just want you to jiggle that.
Okay.
It could be a vibration as the water comes through there, and it's the squealing can come from there, and you think it's coming from somewhere else. Now, that doesn't explain the other vanity thing, but I want you to start with that and see what it is. You said it does squeal out of the vanity, or it doesn't?
It doesn't. Just the tub when it's on,
it's just the tub.
So okay. A lot of it.
I think it's the spout.
Okay.
Are you home? Are you home now?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Go jiggle your tub, and then I'm going to come back to you after the break.
Okay. I'll do it right now.
All right. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to park your call, right? I'm going to park your call. How do I do that? Park that call. There you go. You're on line two. We're going to come right back. It's 8:16 in the morning. We're live in Lake Geneva at Pier 290. Got a nice crowd here. People are filtering in. I mean, at this point, where's Christina? At this point, Christina, anybody can come. You're fine. Look, she doesn't know what to do. Come on out to Pier 290. We got a lot of people here, and we got lots of spaces for you to come. And if some of you wanted to stand behind me as a human shield to block the sun because my back is very sweaty, that would be great. We'll be back right after this. Kind of what summer is all about. All right, we had that gentleman on the line before, and we had him go jiggle his little thing. Sir, are you back?
I'm back. I have some strange news.
Some strange news. Okay, breaking.
Yes.
I need the breaking news thing right here. We got breaking news, and go ahead.
What happened was we have three showers in the house, pure showers not connected to a tub. We have one big soaker tub not connected to a shower. So what I did, I went to the tub, and I just turned on the hot water. No noise coming from the other end of the house. If I put hot and cold on at the same time, it whistles way 100 feet away.
Okay, wait one second. Wait, just so we're clear. When you called me, you said when the hot water goes on, it whistled. And then you just went there and you turned the hot water on based on the information, and you said it didn't whistle when you did that. So thank you for your call. I solved your problem. Goodbye. No.
Yeah, thanks.
So then you added the cold water.
And it whistles.
So it's a new problem.
Yeah, and if I just load the tub with hot water, it doesn't make a sound at the other end of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But when we fill a tub in the morning, we have hot and cold. When those are on in the tub, it makes that whistling sound at the other end of the house.
Right, but did you jiggle the spout like I said?
Yes.
And it didn't go away?
It didn't go away.
Okay. All right, we're going to try one more thing. You're going to shut the main water valve on the house.
Okay.
And then you're going to open up every faucet, and you're going to flush every toilet, and you're going to drain the system down.
Okay.
Then you're going to
you're
going to close all those valves, and then you're going to slowly turn the water back on and fill the system back up. And then you're going to go to all the aerators on the vanity faucets and take those off because they're going to be clogged with sediment.
Okay.
And it's as counterintuitive as this sounds, you're going to be adding air back into the system, which may cancel the whistle.
Okay. Now, that makes sense because we just came back from a vacation 2 weeks ago.
Where'd you go?
And I had the water turned off.
Right. Well, it could have drained.
Turn it on. Yeah.
Right.
I'll do it.
All right. Call me back next week.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is... Hold on. I can still do it. This is Gary in Tinley Park. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Well, you're on line two, and she held up line two, and I clicked on line three, and so then I went back to you. So you don't need to know all this, but I'm glad you're on the air. How can I help you, sir?
I have a question about a sump pump. I recently got a backup battery.
Hey, we're having a radio show. Can you two, can you four stop with the conversation here? Come on. We're live on the air for cry eye. I know. All right, never mind. Keep going, sir.
Can I continue?
You may.
Okay. And I was told that if I periodically use, if I don't use the battery operated one because the regular sump pump's working well, the battery will lose its power quicker than if I stop using the regular sump pump and every now and then let the battery operate it and clear the water out. And my question is, how do I turn off, or how should I turn off the main sump pump? Should I just unplug it, or should I, is there some other way of turning it off? And how long should I turn it off? And I, assuming the time I should turn it off is during a kind of a rainy season.
Well, or
that's my issue.
Right. Okay. So a couple things. It's not a bad idea. So with a backup, you know, with a backup sump pump, right, it's there for when that main goes down. But if it never runs, right, like you're like, okay, exercising that pump is not a bad idea. Quite frankly, it would be something that I would do at least a couple times a year. Okay, so that's more about the pump than it is about the battery. Now the battery, a lead, if it's a lead acid battery, one that you added acid to, the average life of that battery under a trickle charge, which is what it's connected to, is about 3 years. Okay. Now, if it's what they call, if it's a sealed, what they call AGM battery, that's typically 5 years. They cost more, but there's little or no maintenance to it, and you just replace it. So the real issue is the power of the battery, the age of the battery, and exercising the pump. And you can either, you know, to your point, wait on a rainy day, or you can just take a garden hose if you can connect it somehow, or a 5 gallon bucket and pour it in there, unplug the main pump and get that battery pump to operate. And I would probably let it cycle 2 or 3 times before you put it back into standby mode. Does that make sense?
If by cycling you mean I hear it run 2 or 3 times?
Pump out the pit and, you know, shut itself off. Then put more water in it, let it run one more time, pump out the pit, let it shut itself off. 2 to 3 times, twice a year.
Okay, that's great. That's exactly what I was wondering, wondering about.
And then just keep in mind what the battery is doing from there.
When you say what the battery
is. In other words, how old is the battery? Are you adding water to the battery? Is, you know, if it's older than 3 years old and it's a lead acid battery, then you probably need to replace it.
Okay. Well, my understanding is that it's sealed, and so there's nothing I have to add to it.
Okay. Do you know how old that battery is?
Yeah, it's like 3 months old.
Oh, okay. So make sure you write a date on there, because 5 years from now, you're going to forget it's 5 years old. You know what I mean? You will. So just take a magic marker and put the date on there so that you know, or put it in your calendar so it reminds you. But, yeah, cycling that pump makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Appreciate the help, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling. 857-557. Yes, for Lou.
We're getting texts from people really thinking that you were yelling at somebody in the audience.
Oh, no. That was my brother-in-law. Just so we're clear, that was my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. I wasn't yelling. Well, I was yelling at them, but I yell at him all the time. He's the most helpful man in the world. That's Matt Nellen, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Say hi to Matt Nellen.
Hi, Matt Nellen.
And then my beautiful wife is there in the colorful flowered hat right there.
There's my dad.
Yeah, and then Lindsay's dad. And Mary Beth, this is the most we've talked since I got back from Canada.
So good to see you.
Nice to see you, too. 857-557-4LOU, 857-5. I wasn't yelling at him, just having some fun. You see, you can't see my face on the radio. That's the problem. All right, a couple things. We have a Mr. Fix-It hat that we have to give away. Mm-hmm. Do I have another giveaway, or is that later?
No, we do.
So if you're a caller calling from home, give us a call. The seventh caller, 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568, you're going to win two tickets to a luncheon cruise here at Pier 290, a lakeside restaurant. But on the luncheon cruise, you can enjoy lunch out on the lake, enjoy a sit-down meal, and a narration of the lake. It's amazing. The lake just speaks to you. Win two tickets to a luncheon cruise here at Pier 290. The seventh caller at 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. When we come back, we're going to learn more about everything that Lake Geneva has to offer. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this report of WGN Radio News. Yourself to the audience.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stephanie Klett, and I'm the president of Visit Lake Geneva, and we love having you here today. It's a good-looking group.
Just so you know, they all qualify as visitors.
Yes, and you know what? I was listening to you earlier talk about Packer fans versus Bear fans, but on the radio I couldn't tell how many Bear fans. Okay, how many Packer fans? Okay, well, on behalf of the Green Bay Packers, because our spokesperson for Visit Lake Geneva is a former Super Bowl champion, Donald Driver, but we thank you because we love our Illinois guests. So if you're from the Midwest, thank you for being here today. We love hosting you.
Stephanie, I have heard you on our air before, and I kind of feel like now would be the time for me to go to the bathroom because I don't really think you need me.
Sorry.
I mean, no. There's nothing to be sorry about. You're passionate about this area and passionate about Lake Geneva and all it has to offer. Now, on a personal note, my wife and I have spent a lot of time in this area and absolutely love it. You don't have to sell me. I think that there may be some, not misconceptions, but I think a lot of people just don't know what this area has to offer, and it really is something else.
Oh, my goodness. So a lot of people don't know that the Lake Geneva region was the birthplace of modern astrophysics. So we are home to Yerkes Observatory, which was part of the University of Chicago, and it is literally 1 mile from here. And if you take a tour of Yerkes Observatory, you know, we are always talking about our kids and our grandkids, but adults need to be inspired and lifted up too, and Yerkes will literally get you thinking in a whole new way. Mm. The fact that the universe is constantly expanding was discovered at Yerkes Observatory. Carl Sagan studied and taught there. Albert Einstein visited Yerkes Observatory when he came to America the first time. He wanted to see two things, and one was Niagara Falls, and the other was Yerkes Observatory. So it is one of the best tours that you will ever take.
Well, he did also want a Pabst Blue Ribbon, right? That was something that he wanted with PBR.
PBR, me, ASAP.
Maybe that was somebody else. Yeah, the Yerkes Observatory is such a treasure for the area, but it's kind of the lifestyle and the feel of Lake Geneva that I think is so unique. And you know, for the people listening in the Chicagoland area, you know, you think about the hustle and the bustle of the big city and people living and listening in Milwaukee, same thing. Milwaukee's a great town. There's so much to do there. There's a different pace and a feel that you get from the Lake Geneva area.
There is. And I think Pier 290 really epitomizes that. It is called the Lake Life for a reason. It's a place you can really unwind. It's a place you can charge up. But I think one of the coolest things that we have to do here that gives you that vibe, aside from getting on a boat and getting on the lake, is doing the Lakeshore Path. So if you have never walked the Lakeshore Path, 26 miles around Geneva Lake, and you're walking through the backyards of these historic estates, and of course, you mentioned earlier the Wrigley Mansion, they actually have seven estates in a row, about a mile of the shore path, but you feel like you're doing something wrong because you're walking through their backyard, right. And sometimes they're out and enjoying right. the day, but it's like walking through history. You've got the lake on one side and these, you know, storied estates with great history on the other side, and it's just a great thing to do any single day, any season.
Our backdrop here for those listening is the lake behind us. This is Williams Bay, and I'm right about, I think if I have this right, there used to be a train station right here.
There was.
Right? That
yes.
came from Chicago and Milwaukee, is that right?
I think you are right.
And so back when kind of this area was just getting started, the titans of industry in these big cities would come here, and that's where some of the first homes were built here.
It is, and so that's why there are so many folks from Chicago on this lake. So it was titans of industry, but it was also after the Chicago fire. A lot of the wealthy industrialists
right.
said, we want to live by water and very clean water.
Yeah.
And so Geneva Lake is spring-fed, and that's really how they got to Lake Geneva.
Yeah, it is. If you've ever been in the lake, it's amazing. I remember years ago, my wife and kids and I were with some friends, and we were out on there, and you jump in the water, and if you're wearing a life vest, you know, you're just hanging out in the water, and you can see your feet. That's how crystal clear it is,
yes.
right? It's just such a beautiful lake, and so much goes on all season long, but the summer is kind of the prime time, and I know I've got a list of, like, all kinds of stuff. I don't have to prompt you, but tell me a little bit about some of the summer staples that happen in the Lake Geneva area.
Well, you know, we have a lot of great music in this area. So every Thursday in downtown Lake Geneva, we do concerts in the park, and they are free. And I know this weekend in Chicago, Blues Fest is going on, but we have a week of blues. We have a week where the music is, you know, rock, it's reggae, it's a little bit of everything. So we love that. It's every Thursday night in the park from 6 to 8, and it's absolutely free. I'm a big one. I love free events.
Right.
If you want adventure, you can zip line. If you want to be entertained, we have the Tristan Christ Magic Theater. And I remember when I first came to visit Lake Geneva in this position, I thought, okay, a magic theater in Lake Geneva,
right.
how good is this guy going to be?
Right.
He won International Illusionist of the Year 2 years ago.
Wow.
He's amazing. It's a 200-seat theater, but it's state-of-the-art, so you're 10 feet from the action, and he makes a helicopter appear on stage.
Wow.
And you're like, how is he doing this? I'm right here.
Right.
So it's a really unique experience. I always recommend renting a scooter and or an e-bike and just going around the lake. It's a great way
yeah.
Just to get out and kind of see things in a new way. And of course, if you love history, we are home to Black Point Estate. You take a boat ride from downtown Lake Geneva to the town of Lynn, close to Fontana, and it's a beer baron, Conrad Seep, who was huge in Chicago. At one time, he was the fourth largest beer brewer in the country, and you get to tour his home and discover what it was like to live in one of these estates back in the 1800s.
There's so much to do, and we're approaching. I mean, we're here. We are in June, but 4th of July is coming up. There's a big 4th of July celebration with the 250th birthday of our nation. Which, by the way, as an aside, there's this great podcast that John is doing on WGN Radio, go to WGNRadio.com. There's multiple podcasts about the 250th anniversary, and he's doing this with Clay Jenkinson, the gentleman that plays the dead presidents, and who's just fabulous, and so I highly recommend that. What's going on for the 4th of July?
So for the first time ever, we are doing something called Liberty on the Lake to celebrate 250 years. So on the 4th of July, it's going to kick off at 5, and it's, again, it's free, but we're going to have a whole Cirque du Charme. So there will be stilt walkers and jugglers and face painting for kids. We're doing this great yacht rock band called Easy FM, and then we're doing a drone show. And my co-host today, my colleague Deanna, she and I have been putting this together, and so it'll be patriotic, but it will have a lot of drones in the shape of things like Yerkes Observatory, the Riviera, and all the local iconic places here.
That is so cool. I have seen those, and they're just amazing.
I've never seen one.
Yeah.
Not in person.
It's amazing. I know a lot of people. Any golfers here? Anybody play golf?
Oh.
Is there any place for these people to play golf?
Oh, my goodness. So is there any place? But just last week, a new golf course opened up called We Nip. So it's at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa, which is a former Playboy club mentioned.
Right.
And of course, so they have two really renowned golf courses, the Brute and the Highlands. But now they have a golf course that's good for people who are excellent golfers or terrible. And it's 11 holes.
I have my hand up under terrible.
Me too. Yeah. You don't need to bring clubs. They'll give them to you there. You have to walk it. And they only recommend that you have 5 clubs because it's a short course. But the reason they call it a wee nip is the Scottish tradition of having a wee nip. So you have a wee nip of whiskey,
okay.
And then you go out and play these 11 holes. So it's a short course, so if you're no good, you're going to love playing this course. But if you are a really good golfer, you'll like it because you have to place that ball, and it is not easy to do with the shortened course. So Wee Nip Golf Course is brand new.
I love that. I love that. You can tell that this woman is very passionate about Lake Geneva, and if a little bit of that rubs off on you, I highly recommend that you come here. So much to do. Great restaurant. The restaurant scene is terrific.
It is.
I mentioned earlier about the spa that my wife went to and absolutely loved it. There's all kinds of spas and different places you can go to pamper yourself. And then there is this beautiful lake. There's just so much to do on this lake, whether it's going to the beach, just walking along the path, as you mentioned, or getting out on a boat. There's boat rentals, this very place that we are at. You can rent a boat and go out and spend the day on the lake, which is absolutely fabulous. And as a boater myself, it's just, to me, there's nothing better than doing that.
It's a piece of heaven.
Yeah.
Although I still think it's weird that he doesn't like spa experiences. Is that weird for the guys out there?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
No, the guys are saying...
Well, when I'm fishing, the fish, when I hold the fish out of the water, it kind of massages my hands. You know? Let it back in there.
And great fishing out here, too.
Great fishing. Lindsay and I, we drove in together quite early, and there were all kinds of anglers. I mean, the trailers were already empty. The fishermen were already out well before 5 in the morning.
Yes.
Going out there. So there's great fishing on Lake Geneva. Stephanie Klett is the president and CEO of Visit Lake Geneva. It's so nice to meet you in person. I have, as mentioned, heard you on our air for a number of times. Very passionate, very inspiring, and you do a good job of promoting this place.
Oh, thank you so much. We love you, Lou, and we love your show, and we love WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you
for having us. We're so appreciative. We're here at Pier New 90, all sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva. It is 8:46 in the morning. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I got him there.
Yes, I have hello?
Yes, sir.
I have three questions. One is the attic fan. I haven't used it because the motor went years ago and I never replaced it.
Okay.
Is that you? What do you think of attic fans that runs on a thermostat?
I love attic fans. I think that when it comes to your attic, there's no such thing as too much insulation or too much ventilation because it has such a impact on the rest of the home on a bunch of different levels. And so if you have an attic fan that's already up there, you know, you do have probably the ability to have the motor replaced without having to do anything with the roof itself. And then if you're going to have it replaced, I would also not only have a thermostat, but I would have a a humidistat also, so it can operate both ways based on the humidity level up there as well as the temperature.
Yeah, I do remember that. I did. Yeah, I do have a humidistat. It was a humidistat.
Right, right.
This is a ranch with a low attic.
Okay.
The other problem is the family room has a flat roof, so there's 14 feet of no vents, and that attic fan is centered in the roof, obviously. So I can't draw anything for 14 feet on this. So I don't know if it's really helping.
Well, it is creating negative pressure, even though you say there might not be an intake there. In a perfect world, in that 14 feet that you spoke of, is there one end of it where maybe you have a gable, or is it a hip roof?
No, it's hip.
Okay. So, I mean, couple ways to go here. If you're going to hire a roofer to come and replace that fan and reconnect it all, you may want to have them put at the very least one vent at the, in within that 14 feet to introduce some fresh air to get some circulation.
Okay, the other problem with this family room, since it's a flat roof, I've had right above, if I go in the attic, right above that wall, there's moisture during the winter, and it's wet, and I can't figure out why that's happening. If heat's coming from the family room, or it's the shingles, or the modified rubber on the flat roof, I can't solve this problem.
So it's a flat roof, and is there any kind of attic space under that point? Like, can you see it?
Oh, yeah, I can see it. It's the low point of the attic. That's where it's coming in from the family room.
Okay. And
the lowest point, yeah.
Right, and the insulation that you have in that area, is it, I mean, you can see the insulation. As far as you know, there's no vapor barrier there?
It's all loose fill.
Yeah. I mean, my guess is, you know, when you're heating the home and you've got that area and you're getting some moisture in that space that's permeating up through the ceiling, and that's what's causing the moisture. If you're certain you don't have a roof leak, okay? And so adding a vapor barrier is not an easy thing to do in the way what you just described, but what can help, do you happen to have a ceiling fan in that area?
You mean inside the house?
Yeah, in the house.
No, not in the family room, no.
Okay. Okay.
No, in the kitchen.
Okay.
Which is close to that low point.
Right. So in that, even in that kitchen, if you have a fan there and it kind of reaches and is close to that area, if you in the wintertime keep that fan circulating, I mean, put it on reverse, meaning that it's sucking the air up and on low, and turn the thing on
right.
in the winter and just let it go all year long or all season long. By moving that air, you're going to lower that, you're going to move that humidity level around in that space. And it's going to help to temper that and keep excessive amounts of moisture to permeate up through the drywall and get up in that space. It's worth a try. The only other thing you would do to solve that problem otherwise would be to take that loose fill out and have someone put in a vapor barrier in between the joists, which would be very difficult, but it can be done, and then put in loose fill to bounce the moisture back in.
Just do the area where above the wet attic, just above that area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do the whole house.
Right.
Just above.
Right. Right.
That would be a job.
It would be a job. Right. But you may be able. You literally might be able to solve this by turning the ceiling fan on.
Yeah. The other thing, real quickly. This mini split system, because I don't have central. I have central air, but not in this family room.
Mm-hmm.
And I would only need one unit, I would think, just one unit on the wall.
Right.
It's a small room. But you said you need a dedicated line. Is it 115 volts?
They have some that are 120 volts.
Okay. Okay, that's important.
You can call my buddy at a guy heating and air. He's sitting right here. He's the official Mitsubishi Mini Split installer of House Smarts Radio.
What's his number?
A guy heating. Am I getting this right? I don't have the spot in front of me. Hold on. We'll just hand him a microphone. There we go. He's right here. What's the website for a guy heating and air?
Yeah, it's real simple. It's a-guy.com.
A-guy.com. I knew there was a dash in there. A-guy.com.
Okay.
They can do the whole thing, including the circuit you need.
But this sounds like it's expensive.
Oh, no. I mean, here's the thing. Is it more expensive than a window unit? Yes. Is it going to make you comfortable for until the cows come home? 100%. It's definitely worth an investment. I mean, it all depends on the installation, but, you know, it's worth a call. The estimates are free.
Yeah. Okay. I think we covered it. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling. It's like a laundry list. I like that. You call, you give your menu, and we'll order off the menu. We are live at Pier 290. We've got a nice crowd out here. You're all very nice to come out here. Send that story, and then my goal is to say, you know, hey, Peggy sent me this story from whatever. It's something you may want to know about. And so we try to do that each week. So in keeping with kind of the Lake Geneva thing, I want to do something on that. But before we do that story, I want to do a couple of personal stories and personal asides. First of all, my fishing buddy Mike Jay is here. You hear me talk about Mike Jakubowski. Mike and I were just in Canada together. Raise your hand, Mike. Mike, industrial arts teacher over there at Hampshire High School, teacher of the universe 1 year. And so it's nice to have Mike here and his lovely wife, Chris. My sister-in-law, Ellen and Matt, are here. And I know for a lot of you, this seems like a small number, but they're celebrating their 30-year anniversary coming up in November. And they're doing a fun thing, which I, for you young people getting married, they're doing this 30 for 30 thing. So in their 30th year, they're trying to do 30 different things. Right? Like going on trips or going doing fun stuff. At the end of this, they'll be completely broke, but they'll still be married. And so they're very happy. And then Tuesday happens to be our wedding anniversary of 36 years. And so I met this woman when she was 19 years old. And it's been just the best ride of my entire life. So happy anniversary, my love. It's so nice to still be with you. And we're still married, and we drove all the way to California and back, and the line was, we drove all the way to California and back, and it was like, we're still married. So, all right, so here's my Saturday story. Today, we are broadcasting from Pier 290 that sits on the banks of Geneva Lake. The lake is approximately 5,400 acres, and its length is about 7.8 miles long, with a mean depth of 61 feet and a maximum depth of 135 feet. Geologists believe that it is a filled-in kettle formed by a receding glacier. Geneva Lake was home to the Prairie Potawatomi prior to the colonial settlement. The tribe was led for decades by their chief Bigfoot, and the lake was referred to as Bigfoot Lake by early settlers. In 1830, a government surveyor renamed the town and lake after Geneva, New York, another lakeside town which he thought it resembled. Now, Stephanie mentioned this, public access to the lake is allowed because of early European settlers. 20 feet of the land leading up the shoreline should be public domain, and the shore path, which is open to the public, surrounds the lake for about 25 miles and follows the route taken by the Potawatomi Indians. That's my little Saturday story about Lake Geneva. So thank you for listening. And if you've got a story that you want to share with everybody that's kind of fun and interesting, send it to story@wgnradio.com. 857-557-4LU is our phone number. 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Steve, who is in Tinley Park. Hey, Steve, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I have a problem with my backyard drainage system here. We had initially, we were getting water in our basement, and we we've got a couple of new doors, and it seemed to reroute the water. But it seemed to flood the backyard, because the water has to go somewhere, I guess.
Right.
So it looks like it's coming. We have a deck. The water comes from underneath the deck.
Right.
And we're wondering.
That's where the drain tile at Dr. Pump.
Here, my wife's going to say what it is.
Right.
Hi,
who's this? How's this? Who's this?
This is Stan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, we had the drain tiles around the foundation. The ejector pump for that shoot the water out underneath the deck, and it was really close to the foundation, so it was refilling the ejector pump after every big rain and pumping it back out and pumping it back in. Mm-hmm. So we had to extend the pipe out underneath the deck, and now it shoots out underneath the deck and goes in floods our paper patio and the backyard. It's like a little swamp in the one section.
Is the deck? Can you get under? Can someone get under the deck relatively easily, or am I on my belly?
Yeah, you can get under there, but where the pipe is, it's really low.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, where you can crawl in, it's like probably 3.5 feet high where the gate is to get in underneath the deck.
Mm-hmm. So I think what I would consider, and I'm assuming you have neighbors on either side of you, right? And then is there like a low,
correct.
Is there a low part in the back of the yard or?
Yes.
Okay. So what you probably need to do is have someone come out and bury the pipe coming out of the house from the sump pump, and then actually put a pit in the backyard that can be covered, but that will take most of the water, and then they'll put that gravel around that, so then it'll get absorbed into the ground.
Okay.
I don't know that they'll go to Tinley Park, but I'm gonna give you two names. So PermaSeal may do this, okay? And if they
I'm gonna tell you right now, we called PermaSeal. The guy came out. He was supposed to email me a quote. Never did. Called him. He said it would be in today. And still never got a quote from them.
Well, I bet you'll get
so
it now.
I didn't know that.
I bet it'll be there in an hour. Yeah. I bet pretty sure that estimate's going to be there right about click. There it is, right there. So you'll probably get it in coming up, because I'm going to call somebody right now. The other one is I have a friend of mine who's been in he's a landscaper, and he really does specialize in this groundwater stuff and is very good at it. But I'm not 100% sure he'll go all the way to Tinley, but why not call and ask? It's Tommy Polina Landscaping.
Tommy
Polina Landscaping.
Landscaping.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to look.
Do you have a number for him?
Sure. 857.
698.
Okay.
698. 6868.
6868. Okay, thank you.
In Boston?
What's that?
Was he in Boston or?
Where's he at in Illinois?
I think they're in Franklin Park.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Right. I like the tag team phone conversation. That's my favorite part of the day today, the two of you.
We've done this before.
I can tell. All right, call those two people, and then hopefully you'll have that PermaSeal bid by the time we hang up.
Okay, thank you.
Is that a big job, Lou, PermaSeal doing the pit and all that?
It's not a small job. You know, there is some excavation and there's pitch and, I mean, you know, it's going to take a few people and, you know, some equipment. I mean, they may do it all by hand, but, you know, you got to, here's the thing. I mean, everything now, as we all know, is more expensive, right? Insurance. And, you know, you've got to run a truck out there that's insured, and you've got people on that truck that get paid well and all that kind of stuff. So it just costs more. The days of, oh, I'll get it done for $200, that's kind of, you know what that is? That's lunch. Right?
That's about it.
Right. So
you're absolutely right, Lou. Thank you for your information, and we'll definitely give them a call, and have a great day.
I appreciate you both calling today. We're live at Pier 290, all sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 857-557-4568. All right, for you callers out there, I've got, this is a good one. If you're out there listening in Radio Land, the seventh caller to 857-557-4LOU is going to win a chance to dine at Pier 290 for lunch, dinner, or a weekend brunch with a gift card for $200. Like I said, $200, that's lunch. Try their fresh new summer menu featuring seafood, steaks, burgers, pasta, and much more. They have a fabulous fish fry here, by the way. Really good fish fry. So, seventh caller, 857-557-4LOU. For people listening at home, now's your chance to dine at Pier 290. You're going to win a $200 gift card for lunch, dinner, or a weekend brunch. Call us and we'll get that to you right away. Let's go back to the phone lines. 857-557-4LOU. This is, one second. In 3, 2, 1. I lost Don. Do we have a call? Do we have any questions out in the audience? Because we do have a microphone that we could do. Here, hand me that mic. Hand me that mic. Here, hand it to me. Hand it to me. Hand it to me. Is that thing on? Oh, thanks, Christina. Christina Quinn, everybody. She is our PR marketing guru. She's doing a great job. Put this all together. Poor thing couldn't talk to me all week because I was in Canada, and then she sent an email saying, can't wait to see you tomorrow, and I sent her an email said, oh, wait, is that tomorrow? Christina and I don't know each other that well, and she took a deep breath, so... What's your name? Where are you from, ma'am?
My name is Peg, and I'm from Naperville, but we have a home here, too, in Fontana.
My, very nice. Yes. Did you ever go to the Little Bar?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a high school friend of Mike and I.
Oh, is he? No, Pete Novak, right?
Well, his wife.
Oh, his wife.
We don't know Pete. We hear he's good for nothing, but his wife is fabulous.
Well, it's a great place. I know you've told this before, and I never catch... The woodpecker solution.
Oh.
We have a big woodpecker problem.
Talk to that lady. She'll tell you. She knows the whole, right.
And one day I was listening, and all of a sudden this lady called in and said, thanks so much, Lou, for that woodpecker solution. It worked like a charm. And I'm like, what is it?
Yeah. It's a shotgun. You just stand out there with a shotgun, and when you see him, you just try not to hit the neighbors. No, it's not a shotgun. It's fishing line. And so where the woodpeckers are causing you a problem, you take little bitty nails or little screws that just protrude out from wherever that area is, and then you take a little light. He's taking a picture of you talking to me. You take the fishing line, you kind of go back and forth over the area.
Okay.
You won't even see that it's there. But the woodpeckers, bird's eye view, they can see it. And they're like, I don't want to get tangled in that stuff. And so they'll go somewhere else. And once you make it miserable for them, right, that like, I don't want to be here, they'll go find another place to do that. Hopefully it's not on the other side of the house. It's somewhere else, but typically it does work.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. 857-557-4LOU. I've got anyone else? We can move that mic around. How about that lady in the green back there? Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
I am Cindy from Downers Grove.
Cindy, that was my sister's name. It's always nice to talk to a Cindy.
Thank you. How may
I help you?
Well, I hope you can help me have some halcyon babysitting days soon.
Oh, hold on, hold on. You got to tell me when you're going to do your way. Hold on.
The microphone closer.
Oh, closer,
yeah,
thank you.
We want to be able to hear you. Keep going.
Right.
Keep talking.
Okay, so I have a daughter, or we have a daughter that lives in Rogers Park.
Okay.
And so I'm hoping you can reassure me. My husband replaced a ceiling fan for her. She's in an old two-flat, early 1900s building. And when we went up there, she's got a lot of cloth wire up there. Hmm. And it makes me nervous all the time. I'm worried about a fire starting. Do you think it's okay to keep the cloth wire up there, or should we find somebody to come and take all that out?
It is not okay.
Not okay. Okay.
No. This gentleman right here is a retired electrician. He's looking for stuff to do. And he said, what I really want to do is crawl around in an old Rogers Park house up in the attic and then die up there.
Oh,
No, you want to get that taken. I mean, it's you got, do you have grandchildren living in that house?
I do. I go every Thursday to babysit. By the way, Misericordia Hearts and Flower Bakery, I go every Thursday. It's wonderful.
God bless you. That's very nice. Thank you for doing that. That's very nice. You know, that's one of those things where the wiring, that is no joke. And, I mean, in theory, it's sitting there and it's not doing anything, right? But the minute something gets jostled or moved, or all of a sudden you know, maybe it's like, oh, I'm going to change this switch downstairs. And the minute you jostle that, you may pull a wire up there that you didn't know about. I mean, it's not likely, but it's a chance. And, you know, we have a granddaughter now, and my friend Mike and Chris, who are here, they have three boys and three grandsons. And when they became grandparents for us, and right when I was talking to Mike about what it's like to be a grandparent, he said, you know, now when you become a grandparent, you worry about stuff you didn't worry about before.
Indeed.
And you didn't worry about when you were a parent, because now you know more,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So whatever that costs, get that out of there.
Okay.
Right? But get a licensed electrician to shut the whole thing down, pull the new wire, and then you can sleep and have peace of mind that nothing's going to happen, because you would not live with yourself asking this question and me giving you this advice and not doing this.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
Right. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it. 857-5574. When we come back, we're going to talk to the people here at Pier 290. And learn a little bit more about where we're located and what we're doing here, which is so lovely. We've got a lovely audience here.
Hosted at a house party, think like Tom Cruise, right? Guido the Killer Pimp,
right,
all that.
Right.
And so my parents said, you're grounded. You'll have to splice rope at the marina and never have a party unless we're here. Oh, by the way, we're going to taste what you make. So up for the challenge, I came up with Squirt, Angostura Bitters, Lemon, Lime, Orange, and Vodka. And they were like, that is really refreshing. At least there's no liquor in it. I said, my work is done. helped get me elected social chairman. And through the years, everyone wanted to ask me for the recipe. And so when we opened the restaurant, my friends were like, you've got to have your drink, and it needs a name. They're like, call it the Gager. I was like, it's not about me. It's about everybody else and what happens. And I said, every time I've served this, everyone always has a happy ending.
Nice.
My friend's wife goes, that's what you got to call it. So,
right.
So these are,
just to be clear, these are pre-mixed cocktails
in
a can.
Sorry, I took too long to tell
you. No, that's fine. No, I want to just describe, because
so,
these folks can see it, but our radio audience cannot.
So you can't. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to do a personal brand ambassador sampling after this. We're going to give away a case of this for your
listeners
your friends,
here.
Listeners
that's
here.
Very nice.
The point was, not to have a seltzer, right? Everybody's had that sort of unsatisfying experience. The chemicals, it's too soda-y, it's too burpy, mm-hmm, and everything mm-hmm. like that. So, a good friend of mine, Tom Lennon, who's the actor, was like, oh, I've got it. He's like, I'm gonna do a little skit. He's like, I'll be dressed as James Bond, and there'll be a woman in a beautiful long dress next to me. And she just burps when she has a drink of something. And I said, when you're something for really to have a happy ending, have this. So, these are natural cocktails with pure sugar, or natural sugar cane, natural ingredients. You don't know how to, this isn't just got boysenberry or blackberry in it.
Right.
There are three favorites. The Sundowner, current my favorite, I call it a mix of a Old Fashioned and an Aperol Spritz. And the Weekender is the love child of a mojito and a Tom Collins using vodka. So, not too much alcohol, only 6%, kind of like
are
beer.
These available at, can people buy these at stores?
You can buy these at stores and restaurants around you.
Okay.
But we're in about 1,000 locations in Wisconsin, so kind of like a Spotted Cow, you got to take these back to Illinois.
Sure, you got to buy, it's contraband over the border.
Contraband
right.
over the border, but if you pay Wisconsin sales tax, you'll be fine.
Right, right.
And we're down in Nashville, and, you know, we're just trying to figure out how to be a little David in a Goliath world.
I love it. That's great. Bill Gage, CEO and president, owner of Gage Marine, this family business operated here, and I love the extension of the brand. I love that you have us here. You got a great crowd here.
I got my happy ending toolbox. You know, if you come back, you can quiz me on do I know what the tools actually do in the box.
Well, when I talked to you about my boat, you said it won't be you fixing the boat.
That's right.
Right.
You don't want me cooking your food here.
Got either. It. Right. All right, but you do want him making your drinks.
I will be your cocktail master mixer.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to have you here.
A pleasure. Hey, I want to invite you back next year. All right?
Got it. That's
great.
Thank
you very much. Cheers.
Bill Gage, CEO and president of Gage Marine. It is 9:47 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Well, I've got an older ranch house. Basically, it was built in the 30s, and then a room addition was put on it in the 70s. And my attic gets blazing hot in the summer. are the solar powered replacement vents with the fans, are those a wise investment to try to get that heat out of the attic?
So it's not a bad investment, but the problem is, to the best of my knowledge, nobody has created one with a battery. So when the sun is out, it's great because the fan runs. But the minute the sun sets and the attic is still hot, right? Like we get a 90-degree hot, humid day, 9 o'clock at night, it's still hot and humid. That fan's not working. Right?
Gotcha.
So understood. That's a bummer. So is your fan currently in a gable or is it in through the roof?
So I don't have any fans up there. The last time they replaced the roof, they actually got rid of it. It wasn't functioning, and the roofer told me that attic fans are something of the past and they're not needed anymore.
Oh my God.
I did spend about $11,000 having the attic insulated.
Right.
Because of problems that I've been having with the ice dams in the winter. The room addition has got a two-car garage that has got a walk-up going to the attic. So the attic, part of the attic for the room addition is open storage space, but it's also connected to the lower portion of the house that was built in the 20s or 30s.
So do you have like a large gable at one end of this thing?
I do.
Okay.
And what I normally do right now is there's a windows in there, and I normally just stick a box fan in there
and blow
the air out.
Right. So if it were me and you want to solve this problem, I would have somebody like a Lindholm Roofing come and put in a gable vent. So they would have to cut that in, right? A big gable vent. And then there is an attic fan that is called Quiet Cool that is this really, it's kind of a, I hate to use the word smart, but it is. And it will operate, it has settings on it that you can Bluetooth to your phone in your house, which sounds crazy. It's like a refrigerator with a screen on it. Like, what? Why do I need that? But what's nice about this is that when it's really hot, you can see that this fan is running, and you can adjust it if you need to. Now, it has settings already for winter and summer, and it has multiple speeds, and so it'll change speeds, and you hardly even know the thing is running. It will make such a difference in your attic if you made this investment that you'll be like, oh, my gosh, I should have done this 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I can set it in the winter so when it gets above freezing up there, I can or when the temperature gets like
correct.
32, 33,
correct.
34 and it starts melting the snow, I can turn it on.
Correct. It has a winter mode and a summer mode, and it is called Quiet Cool. And they come. Need a gable vent. They do make a version to go through the roof, but since your roof is newer, I think this would be a better way to go.
Yeah, I think a perfect spot would be right above those windows because that area is right above where we park our cars. In the wintertime, the car's hot.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, the attic gets hot.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Yeah, that's quite cool. Very, very good. I really appreciate you.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling as well. That's our last call, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll be right back. I want to thank you all for being here today. You're all absolutely awesome. Thank you so much. I also want to thank Visit Lake Geneva, Pier 290, the Clearwater Spa, Christina Quinn, Peg Pegler, intern Jack Kiefer. Is that Jack Kiefer? I saw you coming in. I didn't even say hello to you. That's our intern over there. We've never had an intern on this show, so this is a big thing. Adam Phillips, Bob Ferguson, Rob LaFrenz, Jack Heinrich, Michael Piff, who's been taking all these pictures. Thank you so much. Hey, coming up next, it's more home improvement how-to with Home Sweet Home Chicago, sponsored by Mega Pros, home repair, remodeling, and renovation. You know who's not on this list? Lindsay Smithwick, the best producer at WGN Radio, bars none, and just the greatest person. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.